Let's read together Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 30. Now, in this portion of Luke chapter 18, the Lord shows that becoming a believer and entering the kingdom of God involves becoming like a little child and becoming like a poor person. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." So he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 18 with some background notes. For our background notes, let's look at two statements that the Lord makes in this section of Luke chapter 18 that have caused some confusion and even some bad interpretations. The first one is in verse 25, where the Lord said, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, as you read the commentaries, you will find a number of different interpretations for the eye of a needle, including a sewing needle, or a narrow mountain pass between large rocks, or a small door within a large city gate, which a camel could pass through, but only if it was stripped down of all the camel bags and all the merchant wares it was carrying, and got down low and was pushed and shoved through the small gate within the large gate. Now, that interpretation sounds good and makes for some great practical application, but is probably not what the Lord had in mind with the camel going through the eye of a needle. The Greek word that's used here is a sewing needle, and could even refer to a surgeon's sewing needle that Dr. Luke would have been very familiar with. The idea of a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle was a proverbial expression describing a very difficult, if not impossible, task. Now, the other statement that our Lord makes in this passage, which needs some explanation, is the mention of wife in verse 29, where Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." You know, I remember a Christian brother said to me once at a Bible study where we were looking at the parallel account in either Matthew or Mark where wife is not mentioned. And he said to me, "Boy, I'm sure glad it doesn't say, leave your wife." He was a little shaken when he was shown that the account in Luke does include the word wife. But no problem. The Lord did not mean divorce or forsake your wife. That would certainly contradict the rest of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, for example, says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." What the Lord had in mind here in Luke chapter 18 is the matter of priorities. the Lord must be number one, and that may involve giving up the comforts of home and may involve giving up marriage. And if you are married, it may involve extended periods of time away from home, as in the case of the disciples traveling with our Lord on this very occasion when the Lord gave this exhortation. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points from this portion of Luke chapter 18. Doctrine point number one, becoming a believer involves becoming like a little child. Becoming a believer involves becoming like a little child. It was typical in that culture to bring young children to a rabbi for his blessing. When parents began bringing their babies to the Lord for his blessings, the disciples tried to prevent this time-consuming practice because they thought the Lord was too busy. But the Lord said in verse 16, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." This verse certainly supports the doctrine that babies who die go to heaven. They are all part of the elect company of believers and part of the kingdom of God. What else could the Lord mean by this statement? By the way, certainly a practical application of the Lord's love for children here is that working with young children as Christian service is a good ministry. Now the Lord uses this occasion with the children to say in verse 17, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." How must we become like little children in order to receive the kingdom of God? In humility, in dependability, and in faith. Did you ever notice how young children will believe whatever you tell them? They are not skeptics. And they come to you knowing that they need you to help them. They are humble and dependable in that way. Our 3-year-old grandson is always telling us that when he gets bigger, he will do this and that. In other words, he is telling us that right now he needs our help, and he is not so proud that he doesn't ask for our help. In the same way, becoming a believer and entering the kingdom of God involves childlike humility, dependability, and faith. Becoming a believer involves becoming like a little child. Doctrinal point number two, becoming a believer involves becoming like a poor person. Becoming a believer involves becoming like a poor person. In verses 18 through 30, we have the account of the rich young ruler, which is also covered in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10. In Matthew's account, we learn that this man was young, and here in Luke's account, we learn that he was a ruler, probably an official in a synagogue, but maybe a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. In any case, this young man had everything going for him. He had power, he was a ruler. He had money, he was rich, and he had time to enjoy it with life ahead of him. He was young. And not only that, he was a good man. When he told the Lord that he had kept all the commandments of the law that have to do with how you treat your fellow man, the rich young ruler said that he passed the test, which was probably true. He was a model citizen. He probably even gave token contributions out of his wealth to help the poor and needy. But the Lord said to him in verse 22, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, the Lord was not teaching here that you can earn salvation by good works. No, the Bible makes it very clear that no one can earn salvation by good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for example. And Titus 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Titus 3, 5. So the Lord is not teaching here in Luke chapter 18 that salvation is by good works, but is rather testing this man on the very first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The man failed this test. In fact, he failed to recognize that Jesus was God. Certainly that is the point of what the Lord says to him in verse 19. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Certainly that is the point of what the Lord is saying here in verse 19. In other words, are you willing to recognize that I am God? We see in verse 23 that the man was very sad because he was extremely rich. Aren't you glad that you're not rich? Or would you rather be tested in that area? The man chose his riches rather than God, like a lot of people choose today. Jesus said that it is hard for people who have money to get saved. Verse 24. Why? Because money is power and clout and security and independence. Who needs God when you have money? Again, be glad that you're not rich. But praise the Lord, some rich people will be saved because things impossible with men are possible with God. Verse 27. But any rich people who do enter the kingdom must not depend on their money in any way for salvation. They must acknowledge their need, and they must be born again, as the Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a person is born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Becoming a believer involves becoming like a poor person. Practical application. Enjoy the abundant life both now and forevermore. Enjoy the abundant life both now and forevermore. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Who's the they in that verse? The they in the context are the Lord's sheep. They not only have eternal life, but they can have it abundantly. That is, enjoy it to the fullest. That is essentially what the Lord promised here in Luke chapter 18, verses 29 and 30, in response to Peter's comment about leaving all for the sake of Christ. Let's read those verses once again. There is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Luke chapter 18, verses 29 and 30. That is, you will experience and enjoy and have a greater capacity to experience and enjoy your new life in Christ, both in Christian fellowship and spiritual blessings now in this life and in the enjoyment and appreciation of the blessings of heaven forever. Every believer receives eternal life, but not every believer experiences and enjoys the abundant life now, and they will lose out in heaven as well. It's often been said, and you've probably heard me say it, in heaven, everyone's cup of joy will be full, but there are different size cups. The size of your cup is determined by your priorities now. So let's get our priorities straight and enjoy the abundant life both now and forevermore.